A couple of months ago, I got an email from a friend down in Austin, Texas, and he asked me to come and speak on a workshop down there in the end of February, the beginning of March, and he gave me this topic, Why Christianity Makes Sense. And so I started working on it, and I really didn't know which way to go with it. It's such a broad topic, you know. So I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, I could just as easily preach a lesson on why Christianity doesn't make sense, because there's a lot of things about Christianity that the world, you know, just does not accept and doesn't make sense to them. You know, we could talk about that too, but that wasn't the assignment. Why Christianity makes sense. And so I wanted to go ahead and share this information with you because I think it's good information and I think that there is a rationale to Christianity that we can use to appeal to people who are not Christians. And another aspect to this lesson is this, that, you know, if you think about, and I know we don't decide our lives and decide whether we're Christians or not based on polls or anything like that. But, you know, the Pew Foundation, they do polls occasionally. And sometimes that information can be useful in just learning about society and learning about the culture we live in so that we can take the message to them. But, you know, more and more people are becoming irreligious. There's more and more people who simply do not identify with any kind of religion. Some of them may be atheists, skeptics. Some of them may just not want to participate in religion. Some of them are sometimes what we call deists. You know, they believe that God is like a kind of a grandfatherly figure, and he kind of sits back and watches things, and then you come to him with your problems and that kind of thing. So, but that's not the God of the Bible, right? But why Christianity makes sense? Why we should, and there are a lot of people in this world who think about all the other world religions. And you know, we have conflict in this world because of the various religions in the world. Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, many other religions in this world. And it causes conflict in this world. And, you know, we see that conflict going on even today because of religious beliefs. Why should we adopt Christianity? Why should we say Christianity is the religion and all other religions shouldn't be followed? Okay, well, let's think about that this morning. And I want us to open with Colossians chapter 1. And verses 15 through 20, because this is really the key to why Christianity makes sense. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 through 20. And it says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Now, Paul is talking about Jesus. And the short answer, you know, if this were a short answer, why does Christianity make sense? The short answer is simply this, Jesus, okay? So those of you who want to leave early, you can go ahead and go now. And no, I'm just kidding. You got the answer to the question, right? Okay. Let's look at the longer answer, though. Why does Christianity make sense? You know, the book of Colossians is a contrast between Christ and the philosophies and speculations of men in religion and in religion in general. And Paul's answer to the opposition of Christ is to tell them more about Christ. Tell them more about Jesus. That's the answer. Because many people today simply don't know who Jesus is. They don't understand who he is. They're not interested. Well, understanding who Christ is, his identity, is really why Christianity makes sense. And so this is the answer. So we're going to look at a few things here from this passage as we study through, you know, why Christianity makes sense. First of all, Christianity makes sense because there is one creator. And this is 15 and 16 here in Colossians 1. So you got your Bibles, open to Colossians 1. We're just going to read through this together and think about this. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Christianity makes sense because there is one creator. This really makes a lot of sense. You think about all the other world religions. In Buddhism, they worship Shunyata, which is nothing, okay? So they say everything came from nothing. That doesn't make sense. In Hinduism, they worship many gods. You know, it's polytheism. Everything came from many gods. That doesn't make sense. If you look at their beginning stories, you know, they don't make sense. Evolution doesn't make sense because that's basically everything came from nothing. And then life came from non-life. Consciousness came from non-consciousness. Intelligence came from non-intelligence. What kind of sense does that make? That doesn't make sense. Only Christianity makes sense here because there is a creator. Everything came from one creator, from one supreme being who exists outside of time and who lives in eternity. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who hath established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Isaiah 45:18. And here in Colossians 1, Jesus is the creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, John 1 and verse 1 and 2. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. He made everything. Jesus, who is the creator. Now, Christianity makes sense because there is a creator. Something didn't come from nothing. It wasn't a bunch of disagreeing polytheistic gods. It wasn't a bunch of nonsense, whatever you want to say. It makes sense because there is a creator. Christianity makes sense because the creator gave mankind a purpose. God has a purpose for us. You know, we saw that passage, or we read that passage in Isaiah 45. He did not create it in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. There is a purpose. There's a reason for everything that God made. That's not true of all the other worldviews, right? Some of them say, oh, there's no meaning or purpose in life. Others say, well, it's, you know, there's for you, there's no purpose, but God has a purpose for everything. But for you individually, no. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. We actually have a purpose. Every single person has a purpose. We have meaning and purpose. In Hebrews 2 and verse 10, it says, for it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist. Now think about that. For whom and by whom all things exist. All things exist for Christ in bringing many sons to glory should make the foundation of their salvation perfect through suffering. And you know, that echoes what is said here in Colossians 1 and verse 16. By him all things were created, and through him and for him. For him. We were created for Christ. Now, we've got to unpack that, right? There's a lot to that. But we were created for Christ. We have meaning. We have purpose. When we think about what the Bible says about it, you know, it makes sense that we would be created for the Creator. What happens when you create something for yourself? What is that for? It's for you, right? And then you can do with it whatever you want. Maybe you say, well, my wife likes to make crochet sometimes, and she makes blankets and shawls and scarves and other things. Sometimes she keeps them, sometimes she gives them to other people. But they're made for her. She can do with them what she wants. That makes sense. The Creator made us for himself. That makes sense, right? But, you know, God has a very specific purpose for mankind. It's not just to do whatever he wants with us in one sense. It is in one sense, but it's not in another. But Philippians 2 verse 13 says, it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And the way that word is translated, good pleasure, doesn't really kind of convey the whole meaning. So it could be translated kindly intent. Kindly intent. For his kindly intent. You see, God is a good God. And he wants good things for us, for his creation. Just like you, if you were to make something nice, you would want something good for that. You wouldn't want to give it to somebody and then they say, oh, this is junk, you know, throw it in the trash. How would that make you feel? You'd probably say, well, I'm never giving them anything anymore again, you know. You might feel like that. Probably shouldn't have that attitude, though. But God, kindly intent. He has kindly intent toward us. He wants good things for us. He doesn't look at us as just trash and rubbish and think, well, that person, you know. He loves everyone. Jesus died on the cross for everyone. We have a purpose. Think about Genesis 1, 27 to 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. There's a purpose that God made us with. And that purpose, I believe, is most highly demonstrated in his son Jesus Christ. And the example that Jesus gave, and the life that he lived, and the teaching that he gave us. And he told us what our purpose is in Matthew 22, 37 and 40. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. That is our unique purpose as human beings in this world. And we are to follow that purpose. Christianity makes sense because there is meaning and purpose. Number three, Christianity makes sense because the Creator made a real and good world. The world is real. The world is good. Now look at verse 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Now, this is saying that God made the world, and he keeps it made. He keeps it held together. He supports it. He sustains it. And so the world is a real place. It has God behind it, upholding its existence. And God is real. He's the ultimate of reality. I am that I am, he said he was to Moses. He's ultimate reality. And so if ultimate reality is upholding this world is real. But you know, there are, the Hindu philosophy says, no, the world's not real. It's just a big illusion. That's all it is. It's Maya, they say, an illusion. Buddhism says the same thing. The modern scientific philosophies about the world, some of them might say the world's real. Some of them might say it's just, we don't know what it is. But science can't tell us whether the world is real or not. In fact, science has given us this really wonderful proposition, and there's people who really study this in science. They cannot say that we're just not living in a big simulation. You know, have you heard that in the news? Oh, yeah. That comes from science, the world of science. But the Bible says the world is real. It's a real place. There's real people here. We really exist. It's not just an illusion. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says about Jesus, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He's real, and he upholds what is real. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom, and has stretched out the heaven at his discretion, Jeremiah 10:12. And not only is the world real, the world is good. And yeah, I know there's a lot of bad things that happen in the world. Look, I get it. But predominantly, the world is good. We only hear about the bad things because that's what makes the news, you know. What if we were just to fill the world with all the good things that happen in the world? You wouldn't have enough time in the news to talk about that. Why? Because there's a lot more good than bad. There's a lot more good than bad. And I like the fact that, you know, we have a social media now that we can publish good things and show good things to other people instead of just all the bad stuff. So good things happen in this world, a lot of good things. God made the world real, and he made the world good. Genesis 1, verse 31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis 1:31. Buddhism says the world is evil. Hinduism says the world is evil. It's an illusion. It's Maya. Science says, well, we don't know if the world is good or not. Who knows? Science doesn't tell us what's good and evil. It's not supposed to. But they don't know. Richard Dawkins, a famous atheist scientist, said, the world's neither good nor evil. It's just genetics. You know, it's just DNA. There's no good. There's no evil. Nothing. That's what he says. Well, he's wrong. God made the world good. Acts chapter 14, verse 17 says that Paul says, he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your heart with food and gladness. He did good. You like, you know, we get rain, it's a good thing. We get sunshine, that's a good thing. These are good things. And so he made the world real and he made the world good. Number four, he desires the unity of mankind. Look at verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. That's the purpose of the church, the unity of mankind. You know, there's a lot of people out there who think, you know, this is a great goal. World peace, right? That's what they always ask the contestants in the various different contests, you know. What do you want? Oh, I want world peace. Okay, who can argue with that? But you know, God actually does want world peace. He wants it. He wants it, and he has done everything that he could do to make it happen. He's done more than anyone else. He wants world peace. He desires the unity of mankind. But it's got to be on his terms, not on our terms. We don't know how to make world peace, do we? We don't. Science doesn't know how to make world peace. Well, if science knew, they thought they had the answer, you know, years ago. They said, oh, people just want, they just want the basics of life. They want a good job. They just want to work, you know. They want a good job. That's just communism. Communist philosophy is all that is. They don't know how to make world peace. Hinduism certainly doesn't know how to make world peace. You look at Hinduism, it's a mess. Buddhism is a mess. Islam is a mess. They don't know how to make world peace. How do you do it? You do it like God tells us to do it in Christianity. That's how you do it. If the world were all Christians, we would have world peace. I promise you, we would have world peace. Now, I want us to think about that for a minute. He desires the unity of mankind. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, it says, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Everyone is equal. We've all been made of one blood, the Bible says, which means we all come from the same stock. And we should, we're all distant relatives, really, if you think about it. Very distant relatives. I know that's weird, thinking you're marrying your cousin or whatever, but we're all distant relatives, all right? And that's a good thing. We should all want to be relatives of each other. We should all want to love each other, take care of each other. Peter said, God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10, 34 to 35. He calls us all to unity in the body of Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 through 29. Because really, this is what Galatians 3 is about. It's about unity in the body of Christ. He says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In Christ Jesus, we are united together. And God makes that happen in Jesus Christ. He desires the unity of all mankind. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. You see, in the church, we are to have unity in Christ Jesus. But it has to be on God's terms, not on our terms, because if it's on our terms, we're not going to have world peace. I think that's clear. But Christianity makes sense, because if it's on God's terms, we all come to God's terms, and we do things on God's terms, we can have unity and peace. Christianity makes sense because God reveals himself in Jesus. Jesus was a real person who lived in a real time and a real place. We don't even know whether Muhammad was a real person or not, honestly. You know, I got a book in there written by a guy who used to be a Muslim. And he writes in that book, there's really no evidence that Muhammad ever lived. other than what's written in the Quran. That's it. And the Quran is a mess. I can get you a copy of that book if you want to read it. It's fine. Islam doesn't reveal God to us. That's not who God is. Buddhism says there's nothing. That's not who God is. God isn't nothing. Hinduism doesn't reveal who God is. Hinduism's a huge mess. You think about the caste system in Hinduism. God didn't create people equal to each other at all in Hinduism or in Buddhism for that matter. They're all just a bunch of different castes, and others, some are superior to others. Go back to ancient Greek philosophy, same thing. Free people are superior to slaves. Men are superior to women, all of that, you know. That's not what the Bible teaches. Because he reveals himself in Jesus, and Jesus teaches us who we are as created by God. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. John 1 and verse 18 says, Jesus makes us know who God is. And he's the fullness of God. He's the image of the invisible God, it says here in Colossians 1, 15. When we see Jesus, we see God, and we know who God is because of him. And look at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. All of God's fullness dwells in Jesus Christ. You can't learn who God is through Islam. You can't learn who God is through Buddhism or Hinduism or any other world. You certainly can't learn who God is through science. Where do you learn who God is? Jesus. That makes sense. That makes sense. Christianity makes sense. And Jesus is God. He's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Hebrews 1:3. And Jesus was a real person who lived in a real time and a real place. Because when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians 4:4-5. That makes sense. And Christianity makes sense because he saves us by his grace. He saves by grace. All the other world religions teach some kind of system of merit. In other words, if you're 51% good and only 49% bad, you get salvation, whatever you define salvation as in those religions. I don't know what it is. 51% good, 49% bad, you're in. That makes God a cooperator with sin, with evil. Because God says, in those systems, their gods say, as long as you're 49 or 51% good, you can be 49% evil. How is that right? That's not right. But you know, Christianity says, no, God is holy. He's 100% good. He does not tolerate evil. He is always righteous. He is always just. And he is always going to punish evil and bring justice to what is wrong. You say, well, how can anybody be saved under that? Again, the answer, Jesus. See, because Jesus took the punishment for our sins, we're saved by grace, not by merit. And God now graciously offers salvation to us because Jesus took the punishment. God executed justice upon Jesus Christ for our sins. And so God can be completely righteous. He can be completely holy and not tolerate sin, punish sin 100%, and offer salvation to us who will accept his Son, Jesus Christ. That's salvation by grace, not by merit. And so we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And at the same time, God can demand of us that we be faithful to him. You're saved by grace, yes. But that doesn't mean there are no conditions. That doesn't mean you can just go out and sin all you want. That's not what that means. Jude wrote about that kind of idea when he said, they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Book of Jude, read the whole book. You'll find it. It's only one chapter. So we're saved by grace. That makes sense. It doesn't make sense that God would be complicit with evil. If he's complicit with even 1% evil, then he is evil. Think about that. But if he's not complicit with evil at all, he is wholly good and he is righteous. Man cannot merit salvation. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. Think about Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God doesn't countenance that. He's not complicit with that. Romans 10 verses 1 and 2. Paul says about his Jewish brethren there. He says they have a righteousness of their own, but they haven't submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. And so mankind needs a Savior. And after making purifications for sin, Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, Hebrews 1 and verse 3. And so here in Colossians 1 and verse 20, it says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. That makes sense. It makes sense that God would punish wickedness, and that he would pay the price without wickedness going unpunished. Because if we can live 49% wicked, wickedness goes unpunished in those systems of merit. But we don't live under a system of merit. We live under a system of grace. Why does Christianity make sense? Because there is a creator. Mankind has a purpose. The Creator made a real and a good world. He desires the unity of mankind. He reveals himself in Jesus, and he saves us by his grace. That all makes sense. Why be a Christian? It makes sense. It makes sense to be a Christian. Would you become a Christian this morning? Through hearing the word of God and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, that's not meriting salvation. That is accepting the terms that God gave. If we're going to have world peace, we got to do it on God's terms. We can't do it on our terms. We try to do it on our terms, we're going to merit salvation. We do it on God's terms, we know we're not going to do that. And so you can become a Christian this morning, and we invite you to do so while together we stand and while we sing.